Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Sports Report. We are your hosts. I am Ben Meredith.
And I am also Ben Meredith.
Today, we'll be getting into some NFL action as the playoffs and some head coaches being fired, and the draft order has been solidified, as well as some college basketball headlines, some ACC headlines, some high school sports headlines. We'll touch on basketball and wrestling. And then some college football news, some NBA history being made, and then some Tar Heels in the pros before an outro. But first, let's get into the question of the day. We're bringing this one back after a few episodes of not having it. Mystery question for Dad. Today's question: can you name every NFL quarterback currently in the playoffs? I will give you one hint per guy.
I can try. I don't think I can name one.
You can name one. I know you can name. I know you can name a backup, because two guys, including backups, have gone to North Carolina.
You are dramatically overestimating my ability to pay attention to the NFL. I know that Drake May is the one that I know, and beyond that,
Mitch Trubisky is a backup for the Bills.
Well, there you go.
He won this week, actually. But yeah, so
I can't. I don't even know
teams.
The Charlotte. Carolina Panthers quarter. Like, if you asked me, name a quarterback from bleh, I would be like, if it's not Patrick Mahomes.
Which is not.
Which, I know they're not in it. I don't know. I mean, I know that, who's that guy? Phillip Rivers?
He's not in the playoffs.
Right, but he just started back again after lots of years. I've seen those headlines. I'm gonna flunk this question. Can you name me the teams?
Yes, I'll give you each team. So we'll start conference by conference. We'll start with the one seed, the Seahawks in the NFC.
The Seahawks. Pete Carroll.
Okay, your hint here is that I believe he went, I don't even know the college for this guy 100%. He was a USC Trojan, I believe, 2017, I think. He's been an NFL journeyman. He was on the Jets. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league at one point. Now he's a top five guy in the league, arguably. Red hair.
You're not getting me any closer. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm a failure at this game.
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold didn't know he was a person.
This is going to be great. I don't even know who the two seed is in the NFC. Give me a second. Oh, Bears. Also a USC quarterback, more recent. Was in headlines because people thought he was gay.
I'm going to go with Mike Ditka.
Legit.
Sorry, you said Bears. That's...
Wears number 18. He was a Heisman winner.
Okay, yeah. That I've heard of these things, these numbers. I'm really, really bad at this game. 2021
Heisman winner? 2022, one of those. We were in the living room for his speech.
That should be a better hint, but I confess that it is not. I give up.
Okay, Caleb Wilson.
Ah, yes.
I think that one was gettable for you, I feel like.
Okay. Caleb Wilson?
Williams. I'm an idiot.
I was like, Caleb Wilson, I know this guy.
Williams, excuse me. And then you've got the three seed Eagles. I feel like this is extremely gettable.
Eagles?
Eagles quarterback.
Quarterback. It's probably pretty gettable. I don't know who the Eagles quarterback is.
He transferred once in his college career, played for Alabama and for Oklahoma, won a championship with Alabama, but got pulled in the second half.
I can see the guy's face. Not going to come up with his name, but I know who you're talking about, at least. We're in the neighborhood. Go ahead and give me the answer.
Jalen Hurts.
Yes. I would have eventually gotten that. It would have been a painfully long episode.
All right, number four is Carolina Panthers. He was a...
Cam Newton.
No. Alabama, around the same time as Trevor Lawrence. He went number one overall in 2023, I believe. His second overall pick was C.J. Stroud. I'm not going to give you the team because he's also in the playoffs. But he is pretty good. Wears number nine, extremely short. about as tall as your wife.
Yeah, I've got absolutely nothing.
Bryce Young.
There we go. Yeah, that does sound like a name of an NFL quarterback.
Yep. Five seed. I think I might have the 5 and 6 seeds mixed up here, but it is, I know the names of them at least. I'm going to start with the 49ers. I have no idea where this guy went to college.
49ers.
I'll give you his initials, and I think you could get that. That'd be pretty easy.
Yeah, let's try.
BP.
Batting practice.
He was Mr. Irrelevant the year he got drafted, whatever year that was.
I cannot come up with a name, even with initials. I am great at sports. I should do a podcast. I don't know.
Brock Purdy.
Ah, yeah, it is. Yes. This name also sounds
familiar. This one is outside of Drake May and maybe the Bills quarterback, the most gettable guy for you. The Rams, he won a Super Bowl in 2021. He played for the Lions for many, many years. He played with Barry Sanders and Megatron. Come on.
Eminem.
No.
Oh,
very close.
The Lions. Oh, yeah.
He's no longer with the Lions. He's now a Ram.
He's now a Ram.
Where's number 9?
Yep. I got nothing.
M.S.
Michael.
No.
Marvin.
No, you're closer.
Marshall?
No.
Marshawn.
White guy.
Oh. Yep, I got nothing.
This you're going to be kicking yourself. Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford, yeah, I've definitely heard of this human. I'm really, really not an NFL fan.
You have no chance to get. I don't think you have a shot at getting number 7. He was
CJ Stroud.
No, he is in there though. You'll get to him eventually. he was drafted number 26 overall to the Green Bay Packers. Still with the Packers, I believe. The COVID draft. It was a very big controversy. His initials are JL.
Brett Favre.
That's BF.
Ah. JL, you said?
JL, yes. His last name is an emotion.
Love.
What's his first name?
Jordan.
Correct. We got one.
I don't know if you can count that as getting one, but I'll take anything I can get.
All right. Did we get all the names? I think we got all the names in the NFC. AFC.
Number boy.
Number one seed.
There's another side to this organization.
Number one seed. The Denver Broncos.
Peyton Manning.
No. He is a fairly young guy. I believe he's in his second year in the league. I believe he's one of 3 second-year guys in the NFL playoffs. Played for Oregon. He was in college forever.
I don't know if you know this, but I live on the East Coast and I don't even watch football.
Where's number 10, if that helps?
Nope. What about his initials?
BN.
Brady.
No.
Bryson?
No.
Bob.
Two-letter first name.
Bo.
Yes.
Nix.
Correct.
Hey.
2 for 8.
I'm nailing it.
2 seed. New England Patriots quarterback. You do not get a hint for this one.
That's Drake May.
Correct. Number 3 seed. I got to think about who 3 seed is for a second. Clemson quarterback. Won multiple national championships.
Trevor Lawrence.
Way to go. 4 seed. Drafted in 2005. Not 100% sure where he went to college.
Sean May.
Cal? No. Green Bay Packer quarterback for many years. Now at the Steelers.
Again, Brett Favre. You said 2005-ish? I should know this. That seems like if he's still in the league, I've got a fighting chance. I know that I'll know the name once you say it. Did you give me initials yet?
I'm not going to give you initials.
Not going to give me initials. You said he's at,
too easy.
He's where he's, now?
He's with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's with the Steelers.
Former Green Bay Packers quarterback.
He used to be Packers.
He went to the Jets for a short hiatus. He tore his AC or tore his Achilles in Week 1 Monday Night Football a couple years ago.
Aaron Rodgers?
Correct. I thought he gave you too many hints.
Wait.
For that one.
Aaron Rodgers is with the Steelers now?
Correct.
And he used to be Jets?
He was Packers for Packers? 15, 20 years. Won multiple MVPs there.
Oh, yeah.
Got traded or signed
in
with the Jets.
In my mind, it's crazy how your brain works, but my mind is like, he spent all those years at the Steelers. And no, he spent all those years at the Packers.
Correct.
Again, such an NFL fan. Keep it coming.
5 seed. I've already told you this guy's name, but not the team. Houston Texans.
CJ Stroud?
Yay! 6 seed. Not going to give you the initials here. Went to Wyoming. Was drafted in 2017.
Wyoming.
Extremely random. Get your hands off the computer, please. I don't want you cheating on this one.
No, I'm not trying to cheat. I was trying to keep my computer awake.
Okay.
You said Wyoming?
Wyoming.
And what team are we talking
Bills.
About? The Bills. Okay, I watched a Bills game recently. That I should be able to come up with this.
Where's number 17?
Yeah, and that doesn't help me.
I might give you initials for this one if you don't get it in the next 15 seconds.
Watched that, like, almost an entire Bills game, so as soon as you say it, I'll be like, yeah, that guy. What's his initials?
J.A.
Josh Allen.
Yes!
There we go.
AFC, he knows a lot more about.
I've watched one football game in the past 6 years, so that was the one.
Who is the 7 seed? I am drawing a blank. I'm worried if I pull up this. Gosh, I should know this. Oh, Chargers, also an Oregon guy. Drafted in 2021 or 2022.
Chargers. So they're like Vegas now or something?
No, they're Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Yeah, they moved to Los Angeles.
That's not an NFL thing to do at all.
Mm-mm. Nope. No idea.
J.H.
Josh Hurt.
You're really close on that last name. Extremely
Hurd.
Close.
I don't know.
Wait, is it? Yeah, Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. Yeah, exactly. Nailed it.
Okay, so now that we got that atrocious segment out of the way.
Hey, I thought I did great.
I thought you did better than I expected.
Well, that is really sad because yeah. I don't think I could have done worse, but yet I did better than you expected.
Wasn't expecting you to get Bo Nix. Yeah. Oh, okay, I'll say this. I was expecting you to get Matt Stafford.
Hmm.
And I was expecting you to get Bryce Young because of how close he is to home.
Right.
But other than that, you kind of disappointed.
Yeah, thanks. Happy to be here.
So, yeah, we'll go to NFL. Black Monday. Do you know what that is?
I would assume that is when coaches get fired.
Correct. The Monday after Sunday Night Football. Week 19, really. Which is not any games being played other than the playoffs. Black Monday struck hard in the NFL. Ravens firing their head coach, John Harbaugh, after a brutal collapse towards the end of the year. It was diabolical to me when you have a guy with the historical prowess like Derrick Henry on your football team. When you're thinking best ever at Alabama, he's the one that comes to mind in the running back room, which is insane to say out loud, by the way. And he got 5 carries in the second half versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's...
That's not good.
Seems ill-advised.
Correct. So to me, I thought that this John Harbaugh firing should have happened in Week 15. And then Falcons firing Raheem Morris. This one shocked me a little bit, considering how well they closed the year out. They finished the year 8-9. The only thing keeping them from winning their division was tiebreakers. They, I think, finished second or third in their division, depending on tiebreakers. I'm not sure how that worked. But I definitely thought they'd keep him around because of the room there. But I think if the Falcons are able to hire an offensive-minded head coach with Michael Penix Jr., a rising star, and Bijan Robinson, who had himself a game on Monday Night Football a few weeks back, they could be a playoff push away from greatness. Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon. I didn't even realize. I thought Gannon was the GM, not the head coach. That tells you how much I know about Arizona Cardinals football. Not surprising at all. They went like 3-14. Not that shocking. Raiders firing Pete Carroll, worst team in the league. Doesn't surprise me one bit. He's too old to start a rebuild. Browns Kevin Stefanski, should have been 2 years ago. Doesn't surprise me one bit. Brian Daboll midseason. When it happened, I wasn't surprised. But now that we are in week 18 or after week 18, I don't think this was the smartest decision. They were, I believe, I don't know what was their record. When did he get fired is my question. Hold on. Brian Daboll has already found a new job. He's in the Canadian Football League now. He was fired on, did I hit enter? He was fired on November 10th. So they started 2-8. But those two wins were against a football team that's in a seventh seed in the playoffs. And I don't remember who the other team was. Oh, the Eagles. So he beat a division winner in the Eagles and the seventh seed. And then you look at how all the only other game they won was against the worst team in the league. And he was developing Dak Jackson Dart into a great player. And if Kim Scadaba doesn't get hurt, who knows what their record could have been. I think that this was an ill-advised firing. I think Daboll will find work in the NFL in the next 2 or 3 years. If not then there, then definitely as an offensive coordinator in the college ranks for sure. But yeah, I absolutely loved Brian Daboll, and I'm sad that his time is coming to an end. Titans, Brian Callahan, no shock at all. The only real bright spot on this team was former quarterback Cam Ward. Outside of that, you're kind of just grasping at thin air here. Nothing much there. Dolphins, Mike McDaniel, should have been done in week two. After that embarrassment that happened week one, I thought he was going to be gone by week five. They waited until he was one of the last coaches to be fired. Like, he got fired, I'm pretty sure, on Thursday or Friday of this week. We're recording this on Saturday. So you expected that to come way sooner than it did. But, yeah, do you have anything you kind of thought? Obviously, your NFL knowledge is top-notch.
No, it does. It always fascinates me when, you know, coaches get fired, because it's like, you know, there's an increasingly large but still relatively small pool of people that have the experience to do it. And a lot of times I feel like the coach at the NFL level is getting blamed for systems that are sometimes out of his control. The GM mm-hmm. controls it, the boosters, the people that pay the bills, the owners, have systems in place that don't work. So, yeah, it's always really interesting to watch those high-level shuffles. Having worked in the corporate world where it's similar, but it's just different. It's at some point you've got to hold coaches accountable for player mistakes. It's really interesting to watch when it happens.
In defense of a guy like Pete Carroll, he came into a dumpster fire. In defense of a guy like Brian Callahan, came into a dumpster fire. Those two teams have really bad ownership. Cardinals, I don't know much about their ownership, but that was pretty much a dumpster fire. And midway through the season, you bench your starting quarterback. It's a dumpster fire. Again, the two firings here that don't make much sense to me are Falcons and Giants. Those two don't make much sense to me. Obviously, I don't get paid to be an NFL owner or GM. So I'm very curious to see a lot of offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. Both the Chiefs' offensive and defensive coordinators are currently being swayed for interviews. I would love to see Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs' defensive coordinator, get the job in New York. I think you get a defensive head coach and then a great offensive coordinator for Jackson Dart, and you're looking at a great team. That defense wasn't half bad. For the Giants, just offense, not really able to contribute much with, they had their fourth string receiver starting by the end of that season. Browns didn't surprise me at all. Should have happened last year. Raiders didn't shock me at all. I'm glad they kept him for a full year, though. And then the playoffs begin. Patriots, Chargers, that'll be, I believe, a Sunday night game. Might be a 4 p.m. start, not sure. Jags, Bills, that will be another game played. I believe that is in the early window on Sunday.
kind of excited to see how Trevor Lawrence and Josh Allen pair up together for that one. I think that'll be a really fun game to watch. Josh Allen and the Bills having the best rushing offense in the league and arguably the best quarterback in the playoffs outside. Maybe you've got an argument for Stafford or Drake May, but I think Josh Allen definitely the most experienced AFC quarterback in the playoffs, if you had to ask me. Lawrence has only played 2 playoff games. Herbert and Drake May have never played any. Neither have the Broncos, and Steelers, Texans haven't. I mean, I guess Aaron Rodgers probably beats out Josh Allen, I guess. But, and then Steelers, Texans, I really am intrigued by this matchup, the young versus the old. The Stroud-led Texans are on a hot streak. I think they're winning. They've won 8 straight. They do not have home field advantage, so I am curious to see how that goes. Broncos getting the first round bye, so they will play the lowest seed left. So if the 2, 3, and 4 win, they'll play the 4 seed. If the 7th, 6th, and 5th team wins, they'll get the 7th seed. Whatever, the highest seed left gets that, and that's how the playoff bracket works. Bears-Packers, round 3 against them. The divisional opponents will play the 2 vs. 7 seed. I like the Packers in this matchup. I think they're fully healthy for the first time since that matchup. They got banged up in the middle of that one, and I think the Packers would have handled their business and been the 2 seed in this matchup if they had gotten the win against the Bears. Eagles and Niners, it is in Philadelphia, which worries me if I'm a Niner fan, but I'm pretty sure you're getting Fred Warner back, who I want to talk about him in a second. His recovery on his ankle has been absurd. Still without Nick Bosa, which sucks, but you're getting a really good team. Panthers-Rams, I really want the Panthers to win this one. I just don't see it happening. Matt Stafford trying to cement his MVP legacy here. I think the Rams get it. Seahawks, best team in the league and the first round bye. Do you have anything else you'd like to add about the playoffs?
Nope.
All right. Before we talk about Week 18, I'm going to talk a little bit about Fred Warner. Dad, I don't know if you've seen Fred Warner's recovery videos or anything of the sort. There was a video of him, Fred Warner's ankle recovery is going ahead of normal, and him doing, kickboxing with a mat, with a punching bag type of stuff with a broken ankle. He's very nimble. I don't think I could do that with fully healthy limbs. So I'm very excited to see this team get a Fred Warner back. Week 18 ends in historic fashion. Tyler Luke was the first kicker in NFL history to deal with these circumstances. Final week of the season, final play of the season, and a team's playoff hopes relying on one kick, which was missed. NFL history was made. Congratulations to all of our listeners for tying the Jets' interceptions record this season. Nice. Jets go an entire season without getting an interception for the first time in NFL history, which is wild considering, one, it's an extended season and an extended schedule, so you have 17 instead of 16, and their current head coach was a former defensive back. So extremely sad there. I'm shocked he's not on that Black Monday list. Well, that's about all we have for the NFL. Do you want to say anything else?
No, let's move on to college basketball.
College basketball. Lots of talking points here. The Tar Heels had no game during the week. What was it called? Like a dead week, I guess. Kind of like a bye week, whatever you want to call it. The best equivalent you're going to get in basketball to a bye week. Hosting Wake Forest today at 6. This podcast should be up by then. If it's not, you will know the result, and we do not for that one. What do you have to say about the SMU game on Saturday? A week from today. Yep, and they were able to eliminate Caleb Wilson and Henry Vassar for the most part of that one. Yes, the Tar Heels after Wake Forest will go to Stanford on Wednesday the 14th, then to Cal on the 17th, then home against Notre Dame. So they go Stanford, Cal, home, then Virginia, Georgia Tech, and then you're back at home for Syracuse, then Duke comes to town. So you've got to worry about that. The good news is, I feel like this would be evil if this were the case. If you were to go to Stanford and then to Cal, then have to go to Indiana for Notre Dame, that would suck. Especially considering, you wouldn't have time to go home between Saturday, Wednesday turnaround. You'd have to go straight from Cal, leave there at 8 o'clock on Saturday, get to Notre Dame at 2 a.m. on Sunday and then have their practices. And then you're going from there. You wouldn't have enough. You might have enough time to go home because it's Virginia next. But you're stretching it there, too. And then you have to go to Georgia Tech. So I'm glad that we got the home game there because I feel like it would be evil to have a game go away in California and then have to go back to Indiana. ACC schedule for the Tar Heels is extremely tough because the only two really, like, bad teams there's kind of, like, three teams in the ACC that are like, okay, these should be wins. Boston College, we don't play them this season, which sucks. Pitt, who hates us, is playing us. They have former Duke player and Tar Heel player, Capel, not transfer, but Capel and his brother, Jason and Jeff Capel, is that correct? Both playing for the rivalry on opposite sides. Both of them do not appreciate the Tar Heels. And Hubert Davis has just not had the intensity against those two guys since he started coaching here. Capel has had our number the past few times we've played. And I believe we play them on the road as well. No, we play them at home, so that's good. We'll have numbers for that, fans-wise. And then kind of the controversy of the weekend is there were two reffing instances, one in the ACC, one in the SEC, that happened. A four-point play for Cal gave them the win against Notre Dame. And Strewsbury, the coach for the Fighting Irish, charged at an official as the buzzer sounded to try to fight the official. A few bench warmers able to hold Strewsbury back. And a bad look for the ACC as well. It was a terrible call. I will give the benefit of the doubt. I will not give the benefit of the doubt to the fact that you can't charge an official. And then this Auburn game. Auburn A&M. Auburn unranked, I believe. They might be in the early 20s when it comes to ranking. But terrible call on a should-have-been game-winning shot, down by two, about round half-court shot to end the game, to win the game as well. And just terrible call off there, refs getting booed, having stuff thrown at them on the way out. Very Louisville of you, Auburn, but warranted. The reaction was warranted. The throwing stuff was not.
I think one official called it no good. One official called it good.
Well, I think the broadcast put it on the scoreboard. But I don't know if the refs called it. We're going to talk about the net. I'm going to pass it down to Dad because I'm sure he has something beautiful he'd love to say.
Yes. We can definitely look at the net. Let me pull that up. First up in the net, we've got Michigan.
See Alabama. Oh, I see him. 12. Yeah, 2-4 in quad one. That doesn't make sense to me. But that lack of bad loss, which none of these teams in the top 40 have bad losses. TCU had a pretty bad loss in there, but I think they've bumped themselves. Yeah, they're 43. They are the first team to have a quad four loss. Not sure who that loss was to, but yeah. And I'm curious what Louisville is, because they lost to...
They are 15.
They have, they have that. Okay, so they're four quad one losses. That is Houston.
Their four losses are quad one.
One of those. I'm shocked to see Stanford being a quad one win, or quad one loss. To be honest with you, I thought they'd be lower team, but I think their winning over Louisville probably bump them up. But yeah, I think, again, stupid metric. Tar Heels have bounced around. They've been anywhere from 15 to 22 in these past few days. There's lots of movement around. I think,
I mean, Duke having a signature win over Louisville this past week, I caught parts of this game. I was at the Emerald-Clinton game, so I could not watch this game in full. We'll get to that Clinton game in a little bit. But, yeah, just very well coached Duke squad. When you have a guy like Caleb Foster, who I think might even be your backup point guard, having a career night of 20 or more points, you're going to win basketball games. Hopefully the Tar Heels can limit him. But I'm a little worried about the Tar Heels' defensive matchups against Duke right now. But, yeah, obviously the all-glorious Mountain West having a representative in the top 20 at number 16. We haven't heard as much about the Mountain West as we have the past half decade, where they were God's gift to basketball. But we're still seeing that a little bit of a SEC bias for sure, I feel like, with Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt's a very good team. You got to give them that. But just, I'm very curious to see how this team, how the ACC can respond with, I believe I saw a stat where it was like 10 in the top 64. Obviously, the top 64 isn't like the end-all, be-all 64 in the tournament, but it's heavily used. So if a team like Wake Forest gets the last four in spot, awesome. If a Virginia gets a three seed, awesome. So you're looking at those things. If a Stanford and Cal get a 10 seed, awesome. We can have as many teams as the SEC. Awesome. Probably not going to happen because we're going to keep beating up on each other. And so a Wake Forest or a Stanford or a Cal or a, like a, because any of these teams, let's say North Carolina, when we go up to Georgia, when we go down to Georgia Tech, which we will be there, by the way, and if we lose that game, God forbid, we lose that game, we're probably going to fall down to 40 in the net at this point, because Georgia Tech is not a good team. And so that's just the thing about when you're playing teams like Boston College, when you're playing teams like Georgia Tech, when you're playing teams like Pitt, you have to win those games by 30 points.
Right.
Anything else? Did you have anything else you'd like to add about the net?
No.
All right, so we already got into this a little bit, but the ACC having, typically they have about 4 to 6 teams make the tournament since 2020. Normally on the lower side, look like 4 or 3. This year, I could see 8 to 10 teams potentially making it. These are the teams that are so far in the net. Obviously, it changes daily. This was like, as of Thursday, what the net looked like. Duke's a lock for the tournament. UNC's probably a lock for the tournament. Virginia, Clemson, and Louisville. Louisville's probably a lock. Not sure about Virginia and Clemson yet. Miami, possibly. SMU's a probably. Cal and Stanford are almost certainly in because of their lack of bad losses in the non-conference. So, yeah, as long as Stanford doesn't throw one away to, like, a Georgia Tech or whatever. And then Wake Forest is kind of on that verge of kind of, are they in there? Swimming, but also trying. They're staying afloat, but also trying not to drown. But yeah, Duke comeback against Louisville sucked to watch. I remember pulling this up. I pulled up like the live score and pinned it on my phone so I could keep up with it. It was like 42-55 with about 10 minutes left. And I showed Landon King, who was the broadcast guy. And he was like, I like that. He didn't say that 'cause he was on the air, but he would later tell me, he's like, man, I'm hoping Duke can lose that one. Didn't happen. But, yeah, huge win for the Blue Devils as they pick up one of their best teams they've played outside in conference for sure. The best team I think they might play in conference outside of the Tar Heels. And then probably the second or third best team they've played this season because they've played Arkansas, they've played Michigan State, and that's about it when it comes to major conference and competition. But, yeah, do you have anything else you'd like to add about the ACC before we hit high school sports?
No, let's take it to high
school. High school. All right. Coach Bennett, the former Wildcat head coach, coached O-line in the East-West All-Star game, his team coming away with a narrow 23-24 win. FCA tournament. This happened over Christmas break. This has been a thing for the last 10 years or so, probably. Greenwood winning at the buzzer over the Abbeville Panthers. Greenwood Christian having a pretty lackluster tournament, and Emerald only loss coming to Greenwood. 96 is 1-1. Or if they've played 3 games. I don't know the result of the Greenwood Christian game. Can you see if you can find that? Or
last night,
Greenwood Christian played again. We won. Okay.
It was a close.
Oh, that's right. Theo told us. 2-1 to start out 2026. With an OT thriller against Greenwood Christian, 67-65. That one was wild. I was in the concession stand,
so I didn't see the score. I just, you know, you hear cheering, and most of the cheering I was hearing was coming from the visitor side early on, and I went out there, you know, snuck around the corner and peeked at the score, and we were just getting destroyed. Yep. I think it was a 15-point game. It got to as much as a 19-point game, 19-point lead, rather, for Greenwood Christian, and so I was like, okay, well, we'll get them next time, guys, and so I went back to the concession stand, and then I cleaned it all up and got everything sorted, got ready to get back in there, and walked around the corner. It was 2 minutes left in the fourth at that point, and it was like a 5-point game, a 4-point game, and I was like, what happened? And I was talking to a friend there, so yeah, I'd love to hear kind of what happened to spark that comeback and what that looked like.
So, So I did not know the exact numbers here, but I, at the Emerald game, I talked with the official who reffed the JV game for the Wildcats. Greenwood Christian JV game, Greenwood Christian's JV team, mostly 7th and 8th graders, and the JV Cats handled them flawlessly, despite two guys getting banged up in that one, Danny Ray and Theo Meredith. Getting banged up, they still handled them 45-15 or something like that. It was not close. And then you had, but in the varsity, so apparently, according to this JV official, they shot, I don't know if this was 96 shooting the free throws or just overall, there were 60 free throws shot in this game. Yeah.
Playing rough.
The second quarter, 96 stayed in this game due to free throws. 17 points in the first half for the Wildcats. I'm not even going to lie to you. Probably 12 of those points. 13 bare minimum came from threes. We only had two field goals in the first half. So 13 points came from free throws, bare minimum. 35-17 at half with a huge Nate Wilson three ball. Nate Wilson, I had seen the kid play as a kind of like a back of the bench guy. He got in the Christmas tournament a handful of years ago when he was in middle school. No, he would have been a sophomore. And, just looked like your typical sophomore who didn't get much playing time. This season and last season, he's gotten a lot more playing time. His defense has gotten consistent. His shooting is very good. He hit an end-of-half three-pointer, but that was huge. Refs were questionable on this one. Jamarius fouled out with two technical fouls. One of those techs warranted. I don't know what he said in the second one. I'm not going to say what he said for the one he deserved. I don't know what he did for the first one. Carver Davis fouled out in the second quarter with a tech. Ty Kennedy for the Greenwood Christian squad fouled out on a charge block call. They called it a charge. I thought this was a good call. Greenwood Christian fans disagree. What were your thoughts on this one? I know you were in the building when this happened.
I was right there. I saw it. And the reason that he called it a charge was most of the motion was coming from the offensive player when he lowered the shoulder and drove into the player. And so I definitely see why he called it the way he called it. I think it was probably a block, not a charge, because the defensive player didn't have good enough position. And that's why the offensive player thought, aha, if I lower my shoulder and go into him, they're going to call it on him. And so I can definitely see both perspectives on that one. I thought when he whistled, I said, yes. You know, I was like, that's a charge. You can't lower your shoulder like that. And I was standing on essentially the Greenwood Christian side with a couple other people, and they had the exact opposite reaction. So it was just fascinating to watch. But I think it wasn't necessarily a bad call, but in that exact time, I can see how it felt like a really bad call for the Greenwood Christian.
And
I had a really good angle on it, too, because I was past the baseline, and I had the same angle the ref had. From the other side, it definitely you didn't see him lower the shoulder. And so three-quarters of the Greenwood Christian fans had an angle on it that it didn't look like anything but our guy in bad position making a play on the ball and fouling him. But if you saw the lowered shoulder, it was like, okay, well, that could go either way.
And I'm not sure who the guy – do you know who the guy was that was guarding Kennedy?
I don't
remember who it was, but we also had foul trouble. We already said.
I want to say Kobe, but
Kobe Quarles was not in foul trouble, so that wouldn't have been as major of a deal. Obviously, it would have been a shooting foul with less than 2 minutes to go in the regulation.
And that's what he was going for. He was going for get a shot up and get to the free throw line. But yeah, the angle I had, it looked like a toss up call, but from every other angle on the court, which is not where the ref was, but every other angle on the court, it looked like a clear blocking call.
And Kennedy is the best player for this Greenwood Christian team without Isaiah Scott Palacios, who is another ACL injury, which stinks for him. He's a football player, basketball player, who tore his ACL in football for the second straight year. Hopefully he can be healthy for his senior year. But yeah, Kennedy is the, as of Monday, this could have changed, the second leading scorer in the state of South Carolina, regardless of division. So he's a private school, 1A through 5A, second leading score, average-wise, which is insane. Yeah, we already said Jamarius Dunlap got two techs. Jaquarius Dunlap got a tech. Carver Davis fouled out in the second with a tech. Carver's tech, I don't think, was as warranted. Carver just kind of threw his arms up and asked the ref, what did I do, I think. Mm-hmm. Just trying to understand what the ref's call was, and I think the ref took that personally. Talking with Carlos Williams, he's a official. I think he's mostly out of basketball due to the fact that his son plays it. But he's done high school basketball and high school football and middle school football and basketball. He said that he had a relationship with that ref and said that those calls didn't surprise him, but to never do that again to Carver. Just basically like, hey, just understand, if you get that guy again, don't say a word.
Some refs like it when you talk to them. Some refs really don't like it when you talk to them. So it's a good lesson learned. A shame that a senior is the one who had to learn that lesson. Hopefully the rest of the guys were watching.
The Wildcats were able to pull it away. Kobe Quarles had himself a game. 22 points. I'm not sure how many of those points were in the second half. Probably about 20 of them. If we're being honest, Kamani Williams, Kobe Quarles, and Jamarius Dunlap, before Jamarius fouled out, had a huge half there, huge third quarter before Jamarius fouled out in the about 3 minutes left to go in the fourth. Were you in there when Jamarius fouled out? Yeah, you weren't there when Jamarius fouled out, so probably last 3 or 4 minutes left in that one. Zion Payne had a career day, 9 points, could be a solid six-man option for the Wildcats. The only issues for me this season for the Wildcats are, one, big depth. You only have four big men truly on the... Aiden Harrison's more of a wing guy. He probably will be your seventh, eighth man off the bench, depending on foul trouble. Zion's off the bench guy. Trey Johnson's off the bench guy. He got a lot of playing time against Ware Shoals and some of those other lesser opponents. I think Trey Johnson, I love the guy. He's going to be a huge bonus for this team. But if Kamani Williams isn't making shots, which he was not in that first half, which is why they were down so much, and then you had Zion coming in there having some huge free throws and field goals and whatnot, very curious to see how they utilize those three bench guys, and then Braden Ayers coming off the bench as their only other guard. So I'm extremely worried about guard play, which is why you saw, and I think it was, who do they play where Noah McDonald came up? He came up for the home game against Mid-Carolina. He came up for Crescent. And he came up against Lawrence Academy. I'm not sure how many points he had against Lawrence, or he had 8 points against Lawrence Academy. Don't know how much he had against Crescent, but huge win or huge performance need for the Wildcats is a bench guard, because they don't have anybody right now to come off that bench as a guard.
One more thing on that overtime game with Greenwood Christian is Kamani Williams coming up huge defensively at the end of the game. So there were two blocks, at least two, but two that I can think of off the top of my head that were difference makers. The guy is going to score, and Kamani said nope, and he did it without fouling in both cases. And so just excellent blocking, excellent position on the court there. We don't win that game without Kamani Williams' defense at the end of the game, not letting people get into the paint and do what they want.
And he had four fouls as well, so you got to think about that. Like, him and Zion towards the end of that game had about three. I know Zion had four. I don't know how many Kamani had, but foul trouble again coming in as a huge disappointment there. And then in the second matchup on, which was last night as we're recording this, Ty Kennedy, according to Theo, my brother who was at the game, had like 15 points in the first quarter and a very defensive game after that. The Wildcats able to win that one closely. So pretty huge for them. But let's get to Clinton and Emerald. Clinton for my Clinton natives. Key Logan had a heck of a game for the Vikings with 13 points. But Clinton dominated the game with great execution on the offensive end, especially offensive rebounding. One thing that really impressed me was Clinton's... Emerald's guard play was very iffy towards the beginning of the game, but a guy that came alive, Malachi Dunlap, by the way, I just want to put on the record, someone with the last name Dunlap got a technical foul. I believe there are four technical fouls given to the last name Dunlap this week, so if my math is correct. So not what you want to see there, but he did have a great game. I don't know how many points he finished with, but I mean, if they have plus minus in high school, his had to be a plus 15. He was phenomenal. But yeah, Clinton just unable to do it. And I really liked, I don't think the Clinton head coach is going to like that I heard him, but he was, the gym had kind of gotten quiet. The game's kind of out of reach for Emerald. And he, I'm going to give you a Hubert Davis edited version of what he said. He said, "You know where to be, you know what to do, finish them," was essentially what he said, with a few more not G-rated words in there. And so just really good coaching by the Clinton guy, and going into the fourth quarter just being like, you know what to do. You know who to guard. You know where to go. You know how to dribble out the clock, whatever. Do it. Don't let them score. And they did that. And then we'll get to wrestling. Senior night. Had two rivals at home, Emerald and Liberty for the Wildcats, lost by 1 point to Liberty thanks to a late game momentum switch. There were, I think, two or three pins in this game, in this match, that really handed it to Emerald. I think it was Cade Simmons, who's the 106, got pinned. He's extreme. He's under 100 pounds at the 106, so that stinks for him to get pinned there in that spot. He was the end-all, be-all of the match. And then he was the final one of the match. Ben Balchin losing. He was the second to last match. If Ben was able to win that one, then they could have forfeited Cade and won the match. Instead, Cade gets pinned and it ends that way. Michael Clements got pinned as well. So just two or three guys who you... I expected Ben Balchin to win. Ben told me the next day that it was really hard for him to get any grip on the mat due to the amount of sweat that had happened beforehand. He said he thinks he would have been able to get a few more takedowns if he would have been able to... just get a point there. But yeah, and then Caden Payne getting his 100th career win against Liberty in the 195 weight class. But yeah, you were there for the party.
I was there. I know so little about wrestling. Like, I really appreciate wrestling when I watch it, because it obviously it looks hard, right? But man, it was exciting to watch, but I get so confused. I looked over at Benjamin at one point and said something to the effect of, "There's got to be a holding penalty in there somewhere. Like, do we get to restart the down, or maybe two free throws and the ball? I'm not sure. Not sure what's going on, but it looks like everybody's having fun except for the two people that are wrestling. No, but it was a lot of energy in the room. I love wrestling parents are some of my favorite parents because they get fired up almost as much as the kid, or even more than the kids, because the kids can't be screaming and hollering for the most part. And so, yeah, it was really entertaining to watch the little snippet of it that I was there for. I was after the Liberty team had already left, but got to watch the Emerald and 96 folks, and that was fun.
Yeah,
so, entertaining stuff.
One thing that kind of made me and a lot of fans, especially PJ Rushton, who was there, his brother's senior night, was the lack of stalling calls. I understand what stalling is. It's where one guy's trying to pin the guy and the other guy is just kind of not doing anything. And there were lots of times in that match, especially in for KP and Nathan, where it's like, call the stalling.
Right. And that's, I believe, that's a one-point advantage. One point plus you get to restart the thing. It might not even be a point. It might just be you get to restart in neutral, or the guy who didn't get called stalling gets to choose top or bottom. But those were pretty big. Obviously, I don't think it's what cost them the match. I think what really cost them the match was some late-game heroics by Liberty. But Coach Lemons was quick to put the blame on himself, according to Ben Balchin and Wyatt Pickens. But what I really loved from these two matches was Max McGee having his radio debut for the Wildcat Sports Network. He did stuff for Bobby Hamby. He was really, this was probably Bobby's first experience as a color commentator, because Bobby just sat there and shut it up for the most part, because Bob, because Max knew what he was talking about, and me and Bobby, I was sitting on the table with them. I did not understand a single thing about the match, but I just kind of sat there, watched it, and understood nothing. And Max kind of helped explain it to the viewers and myself. Being able to sit there and listen to them. And then, yeah, so that's about all I have for the wrestling. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Nope.
I do, actually. So, Liberty winning that game, winning that match, means that they will have the advantage in the playoffs, which is very unfortunate for a group of seniors that I think if you have that one at home, they're not winning. Liberty's not coming away with that one if you have that one at home. So then some transfer portal news. We're going to focus primarily on Tar Heels here. Tar Heels get some pretty decent portal ads. Two quarterbacks, and then lots of different, I think an offensive tackle, some linebackers, a couple corners in there as well. Gio Lopez, after previously announcing that he was going to stay after we picked up the Wisconsin and A&M quarterbacks, decided to hit the portal. He is now a Wake Forest Demon Deacon. So best of luck to him and his remaining years of his college football careers, which could be anywhere from 3 years to 15. I don't know how it works anymore.
That's right. I think they just let you play until your time.
Yeah. College football playoffs. Miami wins despite pass rush not getting home much. Ole Miss's Chambliss only getting sacked one time. Multiple injuries and a targeting ejection for Miami, even with a win. So huge game for Miami to get a national championship in their home stadium. Pretty huge there. Indiana, Oregon, both teams coming off blowout wins. Hoosiers continued to show dominance after that, destroying Alabama. They put up 56 points. 56-21 was the final. It was 56-20. It was 56-14 with about 2 minutes remaining, and Oregon was able to march down the field and score pretty quickly to end the game. I thought it was hilarious. With about 5 minutes going in the fourth quarter, the game was over. They were about to score to make it 56-14. And we had a false start on a receiver for Indiana. And I was listening to watching the Pat McAfee field pass. And it was, their reactions were hilarious, because you're thinking, okay, blowout win, whatever. If that's Mac Brown, he's smiling, encouraging the guys. And it was just stone cold from Sig. Just like, are you serious right now?
He's pretty all business.
He's extremely all business. But reports did come out. He did smile pregame. So we're excited to see that, I think.
I haven't seen photos. I don't believe it.
No photos, so no proof. But yeah. And then, did you see the Lane Kiffin tweets about the Ole Miss game?
I did not.
Ole Miss, former Ole Miss head coach, now LSU head coach, Lane Kiffin, saying there should have been pass interference on that final play, disagreeing with the refs. And saying, really hard-fought win for Miami. Congratulations to them. Best of luck, Ole Miss. Y'all will be back there one day. And I'm just like, shut up, dude.
I don't think they want to hear from you right now, Lane.
Last person they want to hear from is you, dude. I was very shocked to see that. But yeah, CFP National Championship will be in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium, home of the Dolphins and Hurricanes. Hurricanes will be playing at home against Fernando Mendoza and the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana Hoosiers quarterback, hometown of Miami. Plus, a little snippet here, Fernando Mendoza Sr., so Fernando Mendoza Jr.'s dad, so the quarterback's dad, played high school ball
with Mario Cristobal, the Miami head coach. So a little bit of some history.
A lot of Miami ties
in this one for sure. So yeah, is that all you have? You have anything else you'd like to add about the college football playoffs?
Nope, I'm good.
I think I have a feeling Indiana's going to crush Miami. I really hope it isn't, though. I think Miami has a chance, but it's slim. I think it's 21. I bet the spread is probably at 21 or more at this point. And how does ejecting, how does targeting ejections work? Is it first half you can't play, or is it of the next game? Or is it?
I think it's first.
So yeah, they're going to pull away in the first half, and it's not going to be close. Because it was a major player for Miami who got the ejection. We'll do a little bit snippet of the NBA. We have three things to really say about the NBA before we get to the Tar Heels of the Pros segment. Thunder no longer on track to get the wins record with 7 losses. Trae Young getting traded to the Wizards for CJ McCollum, who is averaging 18.8, and Corey Kispert, who is averaging 9.2 a game. So pretty big deal for the Wizards to get a former superstar. I don't know where he is in regards to like his amazingness as a player. But yeah, pretty big deal. And then Russell Westbrook this past week or so getting the number one, or yes, becoming the number one scoring point guard of all time. So beating Oscar Robertson in a Kings uniform. He's playing for the Kings now, so that's pretty ironic to me. But yeah, pretty big deal there.
I mean, scoring and point guard, I'm a purist, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm not real impressed when you break the scoring record as a point guard. Like, that wasn't your job.
But when you're playing with...
You want to distribute the ball. And, you know, when I think of best point guards ever, I'm not thinking about who scored the most. I'm thinking about who... Sure, they have the ability to score because otherwise you can just, you know, leave them alone and guard the actual scorers. So they've got to keep the defense honest against them. But I think about guys like Magic Johnson who you knew if you left, you guard him too close and he's going to find the open man. You guard him too loose and he's going to score. And like,
but Russell Westbrook,
granted he was 6'8",
Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double.
Yeah.
In his prime. So yeah. That argument of, oh, well, he's not a pure, he's a scoring purist. Okay, sure.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that one metric is not how I'm going to evaluate best ever. I know that breaking it is impressive. Sure. Absolutely. And kudos to Westbrook for breaking that. But when, and I'll be transparently honest, I don't, if it's not the Tar Heels, I don't watch it, and so I don't know much about his work. But it's also like when somebody talks about a scoring record for a point guard, it's like talking about an assist record for a big man. But what else can he do? You know, so I'm sure elite player, and maybe even in the discussion for best ever. But I get a little triggered when you talk about point guards and scoring.
Yeah,
that's half of it. That's it. Maybe even more than half of it. And the game has changed in my lifetime.
I think the game has changed a lot since you last paid attention to the NBA. Especially because
I mean, you got guys like Curry that, I mean, they're just going to score.
Yeah.
Like that's what they do. And Kyrie Irving, that's a lot of the reason why I stopped watching the NBA. First of all, there's too many games and I have a job and a family. And so I just can't devote my time to it. But when I do turn on an NBA game, it always just kind of feels like if it's not the playoffs, They're not playing real hard.
Correct.
Or the fourth quarter.
And even like, then, they're not. You
know, and then they'll turn it on in the fourth quarter, and they just jack up some threes on both sides. It just isn't as much fun to watch for me as even international ball or college ball.
Mm-hmm.
And college ball is becoming a little bit more professional-like, which I don't love. But, The game has certainly changed, and I think that change in the game has made it less popular, at least for me. I know it for me. I think my intuition is that it's that's why ratings are down on the NBA over you know prime Jordan years or whatever. But not to say that it's totally uninteresting product, but part of it is that the point guard is less of a floor general now and more of a
scorer,
one-on-one scorer. Like, yeah, I can beat this guy that's guarding me, and they can't stop me, so I'm just going to do it. That only happened when they truly could not stop a point guard in the 90s. Like, the point guard's going to get somebody else involved.
Steve Kerr was not your main scorer on the 1996 Chicago Bulls.
Turns out.
Yeah. So that's about all we have for the NBA. I do have one more basketball thing to do before we go back to the Tar Heels and the Pros segment. Is Baylor has made a lot of headlines in the past few weeks for them signing an NBA two-way contracted player to their roster who played against TCU. Did you see any of this game?
I did not see the game. I heard the headlines of him coming back, which is just fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the NCAA is like, if you guys could just look the other way while we make up some stuff real quick about how we're still relevant. Like, what in the world? What is happening, America? What are we doing? I personally think let's just get rid of all the rules and anyone can play. For any school.
We've got Antoine Jameson has some eligibility left. Let's go ahead and grab him.
Vince. Come on, Vince.
Harrison Ingram, if you want to go more recently.
Yeah.
Tony Bradley. You want to go even
Harrison Barnes?
Harrison Barnes, yeah. Harrison, absolutely. I'd love that.
We've got several.
Luka Doncic, LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron hasn't ever exhausted his eligibility. And I'll take Bron on the Tar Heels for a season.
Absolutely. Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, there's several several options here, but it's just wild to me to watch the NCAA. For years, we thought surely somebody there knows what they're doing. surely there's a reason. And now it's just clear that they were making it up.
They don't know anything.
The house settlement and all this stuff has happened, and it's like,
Oh yeah.
There isn't actually a principle underneath that rule that you can't play. It was just like, we don't want him to play.
And the funniest part about it is he only had like 5 points and 4 rebounds, so he sucks.
Well, I mean, who knows? The jury is still out on that. But yeah, for me, it's like the reason that we had this amateurism and whatever was because we didn't want people to get paid for basketball.
Now that's
and
way
then
up
play in college. And still kind of on paper for a while there before the house settlement, it was like they're getting paid for their name, image, and likeness, but we're still not paying them to be a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And so that keeps this weird thing called amateurism alive on life support in the corner of the hospital. Like this virtue of being an amateur. And so therefore you are more pure or something. I'm not sure. But now it's like that went out the window. Now it's going out the window in phases. We can't play this person because they hired an agent was what it used to be. Well, now high schoolers have agents. And so now the line moved to you can't play someone who's played professional basketball.
And that changed because we've got several players.
That I know of that played overseas for a couple of years. So now the line is they haven't played in the NBA.
Uh-huh.
And then this newest Baylor guy is a step toward that line changing too. Because it's like, well, he played in the G League and he played for, he just never signed. He never played in an NBA game. And so soon it's going to be, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Does he have college eligibility left?
Yeah.
And the NCAA is going to have to become the we count how many quarters they've played in college and we give them a certain number of quarters and then you're done. How does redshirting work in college basketball?
I know in football it's like 3 games. Or 4 games.
In basketball,
I think it's any games.
I think if you play at all in basketball, you forfeit your redshirt. But it's just wild to me to watch the line move first abruptly and then slowly and then abruptly again and then slowly again. But eventually it's going to come down to the NCAA is the entity that just decides how many quarters of basketball you've played.
Or halves.
For men's, it'll have to be halves. How many halves of basketball you've played? And, like, we're going to have a counter on the bottom of the screen, and it's going to be like the end of the game. End of the game situation. It's like, well, he can't play this half because he's only got one half of eligibility left, so we're going to have to sit him in the first half to play him in the second half. The national championship game. We got to reserve some in case we make it to the championship. It's a farce at this point. Like, just
could you
figure out some rules and make them and then enforce them and stop coming up with, like, stop moving the line. Stop saying, well, now you can't do this. Now you can't do that. It's absurd.
Could you imagine if they did this for football?
Yeah.
Aaron Donald. Drake May. Tom Brady. No, not Tom Brady. I'm trying to think of other guys who might have eligibility. Joe Burrow. Trevor Lawrence. Like, imagine if... Okay, I'll just say theoretically. Drake May gets hurt in his third year of the league and does what Jordan does. Comes back just to, like, train, get better, finishes a degree. Mm-hmm. They're just like, you know what? I think my game's regressed a little bit. I'm going to come play for Bill Belichick here.
Right.
I'm going to make the ultimate Patriot decision and play for Bill Belichick.
Still got some eligibility.
He's still got 2 years of eligibility left.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to do it. He redshirted his freshman year. So he had a redshirt freshman year and then a sophomore year. After, if you redshirt, then you can go after your sophomore year. So he went after his sophomore year, went to the pros. Like, let's do that, man. Bring back Drake May for a junior year comeback in 2028. Let's do it, man. It's so stupid.
It's wild. It is fascinating to watch the business drive the logic instead of the logic driving the business.
Yep. But yeah, do you have anything else you'd like to add about that before we get to the Tar Heels?
Let's go Tar Heels in the pros.
This will be fairly quick. Only about 9 or 10 guys. No, I can't count. 8, I think. Yep. Yep, 8 guys. Drake May, 2 seed in the playoffs. We already touched on him. Javonte Williams, 1,000-yard rusher for the Cowboys. Hopefully he can become a major part of the turnaround for the Cowboys. Tez Walker had more sacks at receivers than Quinnen Williams did at defensive line. Wow. With a fake punt sack. He had 3 touchdown grabs, including one in the de facto playoff game against the Ravens. Because they lost, or against the Steelers, sorry. He lost that game, so it was the last game of the season. Josh Downs had 4 TDs, 500 yards this season, so he's there. He's getting there. I think he might be his 3rd year in the league. Not sure how long he's been in the league for, a few years. Caleb Love averaging 10 a game for the Blazers on the basketball side of things. Harrison Ingram's been bouncing between G League and NBA, averaging 1 point per game in NBA games that he plays. RJ Davis still in the G League and was unable to find his stats. And a little bit of a callback here, Cedric Gray for the Tar Heel football guys, back to football, had 160 tackles on the season for the Titans.
Wow.
So pretty big deal there, having some defensive Tar Heel guys. So yeah, do you have anything else you'd like to add about Tar Heels in the pros?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, so that wraps it up here for another episode of the Sports Report. We hope to see you guys back next week. By the time this airs, the Tar Heels will have already played, likely. So Tar Heels back in action Saturday against Wake Forest. Then they take the California road trip. Hopefully the Tar Heels can come away from those 3-0. Thank you all for watching. We will see you guys next time. Later.